CPS Wednesday.
We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
I'm a citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe. I'm a
survivor. I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor, Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
Yo, welcome to All Things Covered with Patrick Peterson and Bryant McFadden. It's part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Man, the name says it all. If you're rocking with us, make sure you leave a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. Or if you're watching us on YouTube, make sure you hit that subscribe button so you can get alerted of all our great content right away. While you're at it, hit us with a like and a comment as well. Now, let's get to our show. First quarter, you know what time it is. It's time for our school check-in. School check-ins are always great after a victory. It's almost like, you know, you get a chance to celebrate the win, celebrate the hard work that went into getting that win. And it feels good for Minnesota Vikings fans and players to finally come out on the right end of a ball game. I mean, so many one-possession ball games have ended on the wrong side for Minnesota, for the Vikings, overtime losses, things like that. But it feels good. It feels good to finally get that big-time dub that was much needed. Before we get into the ball game, let's talk about our very own Pat P. Patrick Peterson is what's on his license. Rehab update. I mean, this is a very, very important week, not just for the Vikings, but for our very own Pat P. Hopefully he has a real successful week. Hopefully we see 7 back out there. But Pat, let's hear it from you. Do you expect to play? How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good. Feeling great, man. Rehab has been going great. Awesome. Been doing everything that, you know, team doctors been telling me. You know, still got, you know, this week of preparation. Hopefully, you know, I get cleared, you know, to come out and, you know, practice Wednesday and go forward from there.
I know you mentioned to me that you were going to do some running. You know what I mean? How has that been for you? Have you been able to kick it in full gear? Are you still kind of like taking baby steps when it comes to running full speed?
Yeah, I haven't really kicked it in full gear just yet, but I did, you know, get it good enough to where nothing, where I had no complaints, you know, getting up to about, you know, 17, 18 miles per hour on land, which is, you know, that's good speed. You know, trying to figure out how the hamstring is going to hold up, but you know, everything's been going great in rehab. Extremely pleased where I'm at right now. So hopefully everything continues to go great. No setbacks throughout rehab throughout this week, and we'll see what happens.
Okay. And when it comes to, let's throw this out there into the universe. When you play Sunday, will you be on some type of pitch count? Or are they going to just say, hey, you out here like you usually been before the injury?
I mean, you know, none of that has been discussed with me, but, you know, I'm the type of guy, once I'm out there, I'm out there. You know what I mean? I'm going to have to get pulled off, you know, unless I can't go anymore. You know what I mean? So, you know, I expect to, you know, if I am, you know, fortunate enough to play Sunday, you know, I'm going to be out there.
I know you're ready to go. Mm-hmm. Hopefully you get a great week of prep. You know, good rehab, feeling good, feeling strong, so we can get a chance to see 7 back out there, because this is a big, big week. You just mentioned something, you know, to me, and I know our listeners and viewers are probably like, whoa, what are you talking about? You mentioned something about 17, 18 miles per hour. Could you please elaborate on that when it comes to that speed for you, and just kind of simplify it when it comes to our listeners and our viewers?
No, just 17, 18 miles per hour is just how fast I'm running, you know, on land, you know, with the all these cool tracking devices that they have now in the league, pretty much monitor, you know, all my steps, you know, my movements, how fast I'm going, my rest time, how I recover, this, that, and other. So that's how I was able to obtain, you know, that number, you know, through that tracker. And, you know, that was probably about, for me, about, you know, about 70%, you know, 70%.
I was gonna ask you, what's your top speed? Do you know your top speed?
Oh yeah, my top speed I've been so far that I've been tracked at. I've been tracked at 22 before, but that was like 2 years ago. This year my top speed is 21.6, I think.
Oh, wow. You moving.
Yeah, so the old man still got legs.
Yeah, you move. You can beat a little scooter out there. You know, the little scooters that they push and they just glide on. I know them scooters not moving that fast.
Yeah, I could be the 18 speed too.
Yeah, you definitely can. No question. Do they even make those anymore?
I don't think so.
Man, classic bikes. classic 18 speed. Oh, I forgot about that. With the slim tires, with the skinnies.
Yeah, with the gears.
And the spokes. the spokes. Well, hey, Viking fans, you guys know what time it is. Let's go ahead and throw it out there in the universe and allow it to manifest. We see number 7 out there Sunday making big prime plays for the Vikings. Now it's time for Chargers recap out in SoFi Stadium. Pat, you played out there last year, so it was your first time in the stadium. Vikings recap 27-20 in favor of the Minnesota Vikings. Eric, how close was I? Because I know what I did. Never mind. I don't even talk about it.
It was 23-27, I think.
Yeah, but I picked the other team.
Yeah.
I'm the reason why y'all won. I need a shirt, a hat, or something. I'm going to do it again today, too. But, hey, Vikings 8th one-score game this season, man. But like I said, it feels good to finally win one. How did it feel, finally, being able to win a close game and ending on the right side of the winning column?
It felt good. It's always – great to win a ball game, but it feels better to finally win that, like you talked about, finally able to win that close ball game. We've been in each and every game that we played in. There's not been a game that we've not been able to compete at a high level. Just a couple small things here and there that's been holding us back.
Yep.
And from us getting those dubs, but for the offense to end with the ball with a nice 4-minute drive, offense in the fourth quarter, being aggressive on fourth down, had a fake punt up, but the ref called it dead. On defense, sending pressure at Justin at all times, making the pocket very dirty for him. I just felt like, we came out and really played some great team football on all three phases, having a big punt return early in the game with DD. I thought Kirk played well. Justin had a huge game.
Huge game.
With 143 yards, 9 receptions. It just all came together. Cookie had, 94 yards, I believe.
Man. Oh, I had Cookie on my fantasy team. They supposed to they get in the goal line. They want to just run these fullback play action passes and all that, man. I know I'm selfish. I need my fantasy points. But he did get in the end zone, so I appreciate. But just give him the ball every time you get in the goal line.
It was a great team effort. And as November, December football,
it's important.
When this, I know, obviously, early on in the season didn't go the way we wanted to go, but we didn't put ourselves in too bad of a position to where we couldn't be still get where we want to go. Mm-hmm. I think we're the eighth position right now
seventh
position right now in the NFC. So everything is still right there in front of us. And now November, December is when real football.
No question. Either you thriving or surviving. That's Mike T used to say around this time. Which one are you? Are you thriving? Are you surviving? Surviving, you're just trying to get through. But if you're thriving, man, you're trying to reach something. Talking about this win, I forgot. Defensively, you guys were able to win this ball game without yourself, Daniil Hunter, Harrison Smith, Anthony Barr, Michael Pierce. All significant players, man, and defense came together. This was like a blessing in disguise. Remember this victory against the Chargers, and when you look at the end of the season, whenever that happens, remember the turning point. Playoff teams that get into the playoffs, especially teams that have a slow start, there's always a turning point in their season that jump-started that playoff opportunity.
Yeah.
So for the folks that are checking us out, we applaud. We appreciate you for checking us out weekly, watching us or listening to us. Remember, I said this could be a turning point in the Minnesota Vikings season. Outside of the usual suspects that were healthy enough to play, is there someone outside of the normal guys that we oftentimes highlight defensively that deserves some attention based on how well they played Sunday?
I think we talked about Cam last week.
Yeah, we did.
Cam had another big game. Thought he had another solid game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, EK has been EK all year. Got hands like a receiver. Eric, I'm speaking of.
Yeah. Eric Kendrick's been balling.
Eric's been playing great.
What's the safety with the good hair, the curly hair?
That's Cam.
Yeah, 43. Well, you're 43. He can play.
Yeah, he can X play. Been doing his thing all year. Everson, you know, being a triple OG that he is, 12.
He's been coming off that edge.
Yeah, still coming off the edge. I mean, honestly, it's just the thing I love about this defense is just everybody, you know, especially when we win, everybody have their hands in the pot. You know, mm-hmm. It's not that one person or that one game record. We have 11 possible game records on our defense. And that's the thing I admire the most. And like we talked about early on in OTAs, you know, even before I got here, is building the backups.
Finding a way to make sure
that those guys are ready. And they're proving it, that these guys are more than ready when they get in there. They're not only making plays, but playing a significant role to us being successful and also winning ball games.
Yeah, and Eric Kendricks, he's having an All-Pro year. He better make the All-Pro team this year. Yeah. I know we had him on during the training camp. You know, he felt some type of way. He should, because he's been overlooked too many times. But this year, man, he's doing what he needs to do, man, making big-time plays. Justin Jefferson, Jettas, had a huge day. You talked about his numbers. How is he continuing to grow as a wide receiver?
I mean, honestly, it's what you've seen in year one, but now he know what to expect now. You know what I mean? So everything is coming to him much easier. You know, nothing has changed. His personality didn't change. The way he carried himself didn't change. Only thing that changes from year one to year two is now he had that experience in year one. So now he understands and know what to expect, you know, far as going into games, understanding, you know, how to study even, you know, even better on DBs, how to study DBs, what they like to do, what they are good at. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? So just adding those little answers to his game is going to just continue to help propel his career. Like I said, Justin has the legit opportunity to be recognized as one of the greats, you know, mm-hmm. to ever play this game. You know, and I just pray that the good Lord stay with him.
Keep him healthy,
you know, keep him on the field so he can continue showcasing that talent that he has and continue to etch his name in stone.
No question. Keep it going, Jettas. Keep it going, Jettas. Keep it going, everybody, man, because this is a big week. Big week. Now it's time for our Packers preview. That is the next opponent for the Minnesota Vikings. You guys at home, right? It's a home game, right?
Yes.
Yeah, home games against the Green Bay Packers. I know they don't like you. You don't like them. This is your first time playing against the Packers in the Minnesota Vikings uniform. What have you heard about this historic rivalry?
You know, obviously, you know, a lot. It's not even between the teams, and it's all in Minnesota. You know,
Oh, really? Oh, so yeah. Just the entire, you know, the city, the state. Yeah, they don't like anything coming from Wisconsin.
You better not even mention Wisconsin.
I love it. Hey, funny story. When I was playing in Pittsburgh, of course, that same type of vibe with Baltimore mm-hmm. and Steelers. So we were going to play Baltimore at home Sunday. And on Friday, I saw this on the news, like most schools in Pittsburgh in the city, like middle schools and stuff like that, it's jersey day. You wear your favorite jersey. So a kid happened, I think he was in the sixth grade, he wore a Ed Reed jersey to school, and they sent them home. They sent the kid home, man. The parents felt some
you
type
wear
of way.
You can wear all 31 other jerseys, Chris, but you can't wear this one.
You cannot, and it was a very, very important game. I mean, playoff implications was on the line. And the principal was like,
probably.
They said, man, forget anything you talking about being right and being fair. This is Steeler country. How dare you wear a Raven jersey with game that, they sitting them home. Yeah.
Hey, that's that same attitude and atmosphere here, man. I was in the, I was at a turkey giveaway today.
Yeah.
I had to do my fifth annual turkey giveaway. Yes, I kept the tradition going from Arizona.
Good thing.
Minnesota. And one of the guys, he was like, yeah, man, y'all got them damn Packers coming into town. Whew. Please make me one promise. I said, what's that? kick their ass. I said, we're going to do everything we can, dog, because like you said, this is a big game for us. It can put us in a really, really good position, you know, moving forward, and also build some momentum throughout the rest of the season for sure.
Yeah. Teams, the Packers and the Vikings have been playing since 1963. Packers hold the all-time series lead 63-55-3. The great Aaron Rodgers is back in uniform. Didn't do a lot against Seattle, but his defense definitely did a lot for them. Have you played against Aaron Rodgers four times in your career? What makes him one of the best?
Just his ability to throw his receivers open. You know, I was just watching film over the, you know, over the last 2 weeks, because obviously, you know, that was my goal of coming back, you know, being prepared for that game. So just watching film on him this year, just his ball placements, where he's able to throw the ball. You know, I saw one ball he threw to Devontae. I can't remember who they was playing. I think they was playing, who were they playing? I can't remember the exact game who they was playing, but he like threw the ball literally right behind the DB ear. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And he only put it in position to where
the receivers can get it.
The receiver can catch it. You know, yeah. So his ability to be able to throw the ball, put the receivers in tight spots is pretty incredible.
Yeah, Pat, I mentioned that you've played Aaron Rodgers four times in your career, but you're 3-1. Against the great Aaron Rodgers, including a big-time playoff win in 2016. So let's go ahead and continue to improve on that overall record against Aaron Rodgers. Talking about Aaron Rodgers, you have to mention Davante Adams, one of the best route runners in the game. What's the keys when you're going against a guy like Davante Adams for a guy like yourself? You faced off against him many a times. You faced off against elite wide receivers many a times. But this is a special type dude. What's the keys for success when you're playing against Davante?
You know, as easy as it may sound, you just have to find a way to stay patient. You know, he reminds me a lot of Amari Cooper. He's kind of like a counter releaser. You know what I mean? And what I mean by that is, you know, most DBs, you know, take it like the shade aside or take away aside. So he'll counter on counter-reacting that, he's going to make it seem like he's going to the side that you're not shading to force you to overcommit to that one side, then come right back to where you once was. And The same thing with Amari.
Wait, so let me try to simplify this with this question, so making sure our listeners and viewers understand. If I'm guarding you and I'm playing outside leverage and you're Davante, you're telling me he's going to attack my outside?
No, he's going to attack your inside shoulder. Mm-hmm. So that's what he does a good job. He do a good job of attacking angles. Mm-hmm. So you're going to try to attack that inside shoulder to force you to kind of open up, because now you kind of feel like you beat, because you're taking away his outside already. So now once he take away that inside shoulder, now you feel the DB feels that the Davante or the receiver is up on him. So now what he's going to do is, you know, 9 times out of 10, open the gate.
Yep.
And now once he's opened the gate, he has him committed, and 9 times out of 10, he's going to try to come right back across his face and get right back outside. You know what I mean? So the biggest key is just trying to stay patient. And
how do you do that, Pat P? How do you stay patient when you got a guy coming at you full speed? He attacks one side of your leverage to open you up. Because the key is to try to stay square.
Right.
You know, you don't want to stay stay square too long, and they get a step on you, especially in a deep route. You know, now you're in chase mode. But how do you stay patient?
That's for the receivers to find out.
You're not gonna go in the bag. You're not.
Hey, you never know. Davante might be watching the show, man.
Might be a Packer fan, right? You're right. But that's good insight on you know, certain releases. And for our listeners and our viewers that have never played defensive back or corner, that's the thing. When you open up too soon, wide receivers, they got you. The best way I can explain playing a wide receiver and bump and run is almost like when you play basketball, you try to stay square to try to stay in front of them. Because as soon as you open up, you give that basket, you give the guy the
access,
free range to the rim.
You want to force the receiver to run humps.
Humps, yeah, and then be disruptive. That messes up the time in most routes. Are all timing routes. So you got to factor in, if you can be a little disruptive along with the pass pressure that's going to get to the quarterback, you can kind of disrupt the timing. So that's great insight coming from my very own Pat P against Devontae Adams. And yes, he is. He's one of the best route runners. He does a great job in attacking leverage and angles. Now, important time right here. Service announcement. It's prediction time. I told Pat P last week I was going to do something different because I kept picking the Minnesota Vikings. You know, it was only right. I
say, keep it going, man.
I'm gonna pick the opposite team. So I picked the Chargers last week. And what was my prediction you said, Pat P, last week?
I think
week?
It was like 26-23. It was 27-23, something like that.
Well, you guys won 27-20.
Yeah.
So last week it was 27. God dang it, boy, I almost got it. Last week it was 27-23 is my prediction.
I told you, yeah.
Y'all won 27-20. Man, oh, I'm on point too. Hey, Pat P, tell me why I got it. I know I'm getting off topic right quick. So someone saw my college prediction and hit for 10,000 on my Baylor prediction. Yeah, that was my best bet. That was my best bet. They sent me a DM. Now, I need to send them my Cash App and just say, if you want to send me some Jordan money, and get
right. Jordans, 5%, man.
You just hit for 10 bands on my Baylor pick. But now let me get back to my prediction. All right, so like I said, listeners and viewers, if this is your first time checking us out, I've been picking the Vikings all year long. Last week, I did something different. I picked the opposing team on purpose. The Vikings won, finally a close one. I'm picking the opposing team again. This week, I'm taking the Green Bay Packers. The score will be... Score will be... Give me... 32...
Okay.
32-24.
Okay.
High flying game. The over is happening. 32-24. Eric, make sure you jot that down. Clip it and save it. 32-24. 32-24. All right. And the Vikings are 2.5-point underdogs. They're getting 2.5. The total is 49. That's the total. Total 49. The Vikings getting 2.5. So for our gamblers out there that are listening to us, watching us right now, that's the line right now. It might be some line movement. We don't know. But right now it's 2.5 underdog for the Minnesota Vikings. And the total is 49. Let's see how close I get to it this week. We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back with some notable news from the NFL. And we'll be answering your questions next.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Taylor Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Taylor Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Taylor Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Taylor Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Taylor Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBS Sports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Taylor Brands.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Pat P, it's time for Around the League. Here's where we tap into news that surfaced throughout the NFL. Big time weekend this past Sunday. Cam Newton was back with the Carolina Panthers, responsible for 2 touchdowns versus your former team, the Arizona Cardinals. How shocking of a return was it for Cam? Number one, when you heard Cam was signing your draft mate in the class of 2011, you know, what were you thinking? And then when you heard the results, you know, from the ball game with Carolina and Arizona, you know, what came across your mind also?
Good for Cam. You know, mm-hmm. I thought it was a perfect fit for him, for one. Going back to his old roots, I think being in an offense that's going to allow him to let the things that he do flourish, having a running game, a defense that's been very stingy over the last month, And that's continuing to get better. You know, adding Stephon over there over the last couple of weeks. You know, he's been in the lineup over the last couple of weeks. Defense has been very stingy. And you know, those guys want to play a controlled, tough football game.
Yeah.
And that's control the clock by running the ball, converting on third downs, and playing some tough, nasty defense. And that's what they've been doing over the last couple of weeks. And once mm-hmm. Cam Newton gets back in the lineup, I think this team can be very dangerous, especially if McCaffrey is in.
Oh, I was about to say it. I understand they're talking about the quarterback and this and that.
Yeah,
listen,
Christian, make it go.
When he in there, he's not just the transmission. He the motor. He everything.
Yeah,
like
he makes it go.
Man, Pat Pete, the man quietly had 95 yards in the first quarter.
First quarter.
He had 11 receptions. He had, fantasy-wise, he had like 22, 25 fantasy points with no touchdowns. That's crazy production.
Yeah.
Like when he in there, you can have PJ Walker, you can have Luke Walker, you can have Kenny Walker. It don't matter. And then when you factor in Cam, especially when he gets acclimated to what they're doing, that's a bonus. That team, and I know you guys played them without Christian McCaffrey, but in their division, the NFC South, it was basically a one-team division, but now Tampa seems to be a little rocky. If they can stay healthy and Cam can get acclimated up to speed sooner than later, they can make things real spicy because that defense is humming. Your former teammate, Hassan Reddick, he's been giving hell off the edge. Brian Burns giving hell off the edge. Man, they got some guys that's biting. You talked about Stephon Gilmore.
Shaq Thompson.
I keep forgetting he changed his number to number seven. Like,
hey, I was like, no, that's crazy. I was watching film the other day. Maybe it was last week because we just played the Chargers.
Yeah, just played.
Did the Chargers play Panthers this year?
Yeah, I played the Chargers and before the Chargers.
No, did the Panthers play the Chargers this year?
I don't think so.
I don't know how I was watching them on tape. Oh, maybe I think it was maybe
the Cowboys. When y'all played, the Panthers played the Cowboys too.
No, I think it was a turnover tape because he had got a pick against. I forgot who he got a pick against.
Yeah.
I'm like, who the heck is that number seven? I'm like, where's 54?
Yeah.
And I asked Ty, I was like, who is seven? It's like, oh, that's
Shaq.
Man, my mind just went blank. That's
Shaq Thompson.
Shaq. He's like, that's Shaq. I was like, oh, he changed his number. I was like, man, that seven looked good on him too, man.
But he flying around too, hitting people in the mouth. Hitting people in the mouth. So that's a team you definitely need to monitor in the NFC South. And other news. Now, we are recording this right before the Monday night game, but your good friend, former LSU alum, friend of the show. We had OBJ on the show a year ago, making his return, playing for the Los Angeles Rams tonight against the San Francisco 49ers. Understand the decision to go to a winning situation versus setting himself up for a huge contract. Can he still do both, Pat P? Set himself up to get a nice payday after this season and, of course, chase a championship.
No doubt about it. You know, especially this year, he's in prime position to do that, you know, especially just with the name they have on paper.
And with the injury, unfortunately, to Robert Woods, it would open up opportunities.
I think he can step in and be a huge contributor to this offense, especially having a quarterback like Matthew Stafford that's going to get him the ball no matter what.
Yeah.
He's going to have opportunities. Now it's going to be up to him to obviously flourish from those opportunities. And I have no doubt in my mind that he will. Because I still think he's a baller. He still can catch the ball. You know, like he said, he just needed to be out of the situation that he was in.
Yeah.
A lot of whatever was going on over there. Now he's in another situation that, you know, he's around a winning culture, some great players, an offense that I feel that can really get him back to the form that he once was at.
Yep.
A lot of creativity. I hear that they probably going to have him on punt return a little bit.
Yeah. Tonight. Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to see how it all unfolds because he is one dynamic football player for sure with the ball in his hand. So it's going to be exciting to see how everything turns out there in La La Land with OBJ.
I wonder what is his player props for this game. Because like I said, listeners and viewers, remember when you guys actually hear this, this was pre-recorded before the Monday night game. So I don't know if Eric can get his props fast. Eric, our producer, is always on point. He's a stat guy. He's a numbers guy. He's the analytic guy. He does it all. Well, you know what I'm going to say, Pat P, since I'm in the mood to give predictions. As a matter of fact, I might need to put a bet in for this one, too. I need to see what
I know they're going to probably have over under one touchdown.
They're going to get a touchdown. They're getting one. He's getting one.
Oh, he got 33 yards, over under on 33.5 yards.
You know what? Friend of the show, OBJ is going over 33.5
yards. He might have that in the first 15.
I'll say this. OBJ is going to be on the pitch count. He's not going to play a lot. He's going to have 5 receptions for 68 yards and 1 touchdown.
Hmm.
Nostradamus has spoken. Pat P, remember what I said, Pat P.
But I you know, I remember everything you said.
Hey, Pat P, I'm going to watch this game. I'm going to watch it. If he hit, God dang, what? How many? I said 5 receptions for, what I say, 68 yards?
65.
5 receptions for 68 yards and 1 touchdown. Pat P, if that happened tonight, I'm telling you right now, I'm taking everything out of my piggy bank. I'm putting the whole bet in on somebody on Thursday night, and I'm rocking and rolling.
I love it.
I took the Rams anyway. I bought it down to 2.5, so a field goal will get me in the door anyway. But that's what I got for OBJ. 5 receptions, 68 yards, 1 touchdown. Let's see what happens.
Let's see.
Now it's time for All Things Covered Award. We're dishing out 2 awards weekly for those that live up to our show name and have all things covered. The first award goes to the Green Bay Packers defense. Man, outstanding performance against Russell Wilson. Russell was 20 of 40, 168 yards through the air, 2 interceptions, no points. First time in his career, his team was shut out in his 150th start. Only 7 quarterbacks since 1950 made more starts before their first time being shut out. A huge accomplishment for the Green Bay Packers. Their defense has been biting the last few weeks. It's good that they bit off a lot this past Sunday, because against the Minnesota Vikings, they won't be able to chew everything they bite because they're not going to have a lot to bite. Let's go Vikings. But hey, they get the award this week. The Green Bay Packers, we definitely see what you're doing. You had everything covered. All things were covered this past Sunday in Lambeau Field. Now, let's transition to the offensive side. This is a play I was high on during the draft last year. I felt like he should have been the first quarterback to get drafted. He didn't. I felt like he was the best thrower of the football in college football. He was the most cerebral guy, the smartest guy, the most accurate guy. The return of the Mac. Mac Jones is our offensive award winner. 19 of 23, 198 yards, 3 touchdowns, highest completion percentage, which was 82.6, and pass touchdowns, 3 in a game this season, 6 win this season. And he did it against a playoff caliber team in the Cleveland Browns. He's tied with Jim Plunkett. In 1971, Jim Plunkett had 6 wins. That was the most wins by a Pats rookie quarterback. Also, he did something that Tom Brady has never done in his rookie campaign. He threw for 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. The first time that happened in Patriots organization history since the 1960s, I think it was the 50s or the 60s, but he is the offensive player. Who is the best, Pat P, for you, the best rookie quarterback that you can remember? Guy that had an unbelievable rookie year. I got 2 guys for you right now.
I got Lamar Jackson.
Ooh.
I thought he had a great, when he did get in there and start playing, he had an unbelievable, I think he was what, like 8-1?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Yeah.
And my second one that I've seen, 6-1 as a rookie. And my second one, man, I'm gonna go with a toss-up, man. I'm gonna go with Robert Griffin III. I thought his rookie campaign was unbelievable.
Yeah, I forgot.
And I gotta go Cam Newton.
I was about to say.
Cam Newton came on the scene.
His first game was 400. He had 400, right? Yeah. Against your Cardinals.
But I had to walk off home run.
You had to walk off. Yes, you did. That 2011 class showed up big time in that ball game.
Yes, sir.
I'll go Cam, and I'll go Justin Herbert from last year.
Yeah. I thought Justin Herbert had a good year, too. But that when Lamar came in, because you got to think about it. When Lamar came in, right, you know, obviously he went 32nd.
Mm-hmm.
What he was able to do in college, all the critics, oh, he ain't gonna be able to do that. He ain't gonna be able to do this. He just came in, just ripped the lead up in half, and that's why I say, like, what he was able to do, because, like, Justin was, when he came into the league, we all knew he was going to come in and be a pocket passer, strong arm, put the ball everywhere. But with Lamar, you know, we really didn't see him throw the ball as accurately or really put the ball down the field, really working in a prototype offense. And what he was able to do throughout his rookie year and still able to do it, I think is just remarkable.
No question. I love it. I love it. Hey, man, shout out to our award winners, Mac Jones in the Green Bay Packers defense. Seven questions. Seven questions where we get a chance to interact with you, the listeners and the viewers. If you want your question to be answered in the future, leave a question attached to a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, and we may get to it on the show. This question comes from E. Baraccini on Instagram. I hope I didn't butcher it too bad. Favorite cleats you've worn, either for a personal swag or my cleats? Ooh, good question.
Personal swag, I got to go up my Diamond Terps Dion.
Oh. Man.
Hey.
Well, you can't. Why? Where they at? You can't get them painted. Can you bring them back out?
I don't want to paint them. That's the original color, so I got to keep my eye
on. Can you wear them? Wear them.
No, I can't. When they got red in them, man.
Man, it's so wet. You see guys wear green cleats and their jersey blue. You see guys wearing yellow cleats in their jersey.
Said, man.
Man, bring them Diamond Terps out.
What I'm going to do to Eric, I'm going to send you all the pictures. I'm going to send you. I got three pairs, too. I got the Diamond Terps ones and twos.
What you doing?
I got the red joints, the black joints, and the first ones that Dion wore when he was in San Fran.
Well, can't you wear the black ones?
The black ones got red in it, too. I'm going to send you a picture. I'm going to send them to you. We can put them up on the show.
We can put them on the show. But why you can't, man, bring them, man, don't do that. Man, you know, boy, like San Francisco, you might see somebody with yellow cleats on in San Francisco. They got red and white. You can, man, that black and that, man, bring them Diamond Terps out there. Because, let me tell you, this is how much I know about my guy, Pat P. I used to always monitor his uniform. You know, I always monitor. When you had them Diamond Terps, them high whites?
Yeah.
Ooh, I said, boy, somebody going to get it today. I said, he already about business. When I see Pat P. walk out them high whites and them Diamond Terps, I said, I don't care who he going to get. It might be hell out there. Don't even throw, won't even do it. If he catch a punt, he probably going to take a yard. If you
yes, sir. A quick story about those cleats, too. I wore them the last time playing in Kendall on Candlestick Field, playing against Randy Moss. I think it was like his last layer. I think he had just came from New England, if I'm not mistaken. I can't remember where he just came from.
I think he went to Tennessee and then San Francisco, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that's probably happened.
I think that was it.
Man, I dropped a pick hit me right in the face, Matt. Red zone, seven route. I'm on Randy Moss, third year in the league, running seven route. And I know actually
seven is a corner route. Seven is a corner route for our listeners.
Seven is a corner route. This is my second year in the league. I dropped a pick to tie Richard Sherman, and I forgot who it was, one more guy for eight picks in the league. I finished seven, with seven picks that year.
And you dropped. It was easy. Easy.
It was so easy that I was relaxed because Randy, like, I think Colin had threw the ball. Actually, he threw it so bad. Like, he underthrew it bad. And, like, Randy was high. And I'm like this here just coasting, and my hands were just all soft, and it literally went through my hands, hit me right in the face, man. Bang. Piss. Mm.
And you had them Diamond Terps on?
I did.
You know I'm going to harass you all week. You know I'm going to harass you all week. I won't see them Diamond Terps. And listen, Andy, boy, you could be – come on, Pat, please. If you got three pair, you can at least paint, get something – you can get one of them painted to fit the purple – and white and yellow. If you got three pair, I know you got a custom guy, someone who can get them done ready for you on Sunday.
I'll see what I can do, man. And what I might do, I might not wear them Sunday. I ain't gonna lie, I'm probably not gonna wear them Sunday.
Okay.
But I might wear them for either the Pittsburgh game or Chicago Monday night.
Oh, and then what you should do, if you get them painted, have them the bottom either painted all yellow or all purple.
I got you. I got you.
Man, when we release this on YouTube, Eric got to make sure.
I was looking for the picture right now. I'm going to see the picture right now. But I got to actually answer my favorite, my calls, my
cleats.
My calls, my cleats. Yep. My favorite ones is Nightmares. It didn't actually, this wasn't my calls. I really don't participate in it. Mm-hmm. So for this one, I just literally did my own theme. It was Nightmares. I think it was the Nightmare on Christmas Night. Mm-hmm. And I had those. I'm gonna send those too, so we can have all of them on the show.
I like it. Nice question coming from Eric Barrecchini on Instagram. Thank you for that question. I mean E. Barrecchini. E. Barrecchini. Hopefully I didn't butcher it too well, but thank you for that question. And we're going to make sure we're going to harass Pat P until he wears those diamond turfs. And if you don't know anything about diamond turfs, those are Deion Sanders signature shoe. That was a sneaker and a cleat. And Pat P had a pair. He has three pairs, and I'm trying to get him to paint them Minnesota Vikings color so he can wear them against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I'm going to harass him until I actually see the shoe on his feet. All right, shout out. You find one of them?
Yeah, I got one of them right here.
Time for shout outs. We want to remind everyone that you can find us on Instagram at All Things Covered Pod. Continue to give us a follow, monitor us, man. We appreciate all the support. Each week we give clues to our next guest, and the first person to guess correctly gets a follow and a shout out on the pod. Shout out to Viking Fan Page, a big time follower of the show, for correctly guessing John Smoltz. Again, follow us at All Things Covered Pod for the very, very best content from the show.
That's it for this episode. Thanks to everyone for listening and watching. We'll be back again Thursday, where you can expect all things to be covered.
Peace.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.